Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are thrilled to have on the phone with us historian Heidi Langenfeld. Heidi is somebody that we can always turn to find out different things about the history of Hastings. And she is a very, very dedicated volunteer at the Pioneer Room in Hastings at City Hall. And we want to talk today about women-owned businesses in this area. Heidi, how have you been?
I've been good. How about you, Mal?
Well, I've been great as well. Tell me how COVID is affecting your world.
Well, it's keeping us home a lot more.
It is. I know you like to be out and about, so this has got to be hard for you.
Well, I have a garden. I have a lot of flowers, and I think my yard looked better this year than it has because I focused a little more on weeds.
Absolutely. So, but don't you think it was a good growing season as well?
Yes, it was. I think so. Mm-hmm.
When we're thinking about businesses in Hastings, we were talking before we went on the air about the number of women-owned businesses we know, and there is a high percentage, I would say, in Hastings. But I was also talking to the chamber coordinator, Casey Johnson, in Prescott. She was telling me there's a very high percentage of women-owned businesses in Prescott also. So is this a new phenomenon, or have there always been women-owned businesses in Hastings?
Well, I did research on the women in 1920 because I was interested in they got the vote that year and how that affected their lives. And the good old census records helped tell the women who were downtown the different careers, the different women-owned businesses. And I was really surprised how many in 1920 owned the downtown businesses.
Especially since women couldn't even vote in 1920. So you don't think of them as, that's kind of a basic these days, and you don't think of them then as being business owners. Was it driven by maybe people coming off of World War One, where they had to step in and help out, and they just kept up the business that they had maybe stepped in to help?
In some cases, that might have been the case, but most of the time, they were women that were, well, some of them were married and their husbands died. Some were single women that never married, and so this was their career. And it's interesting because, we do think about women fighting so hard to get the vote, and we know that story about the suffragist movement and how it went on and on and on, and then they finally did get the vote. And as soon as that it turned where they could vote, we saw them energizing and learning all about how to be good citizens as far as who to vote for and that type of thing. But at the same time, they were already owning their own businesses. They were already in women's clubs and doing a lot of community work. It was the women who started wanting to clean up the levee in 1920. And so you see this whole energy around what women were doing. The married women tended to be the ones who were in the clubs. Their husbands were the ones that were the downtown businessmen. But the women who were living and working downtown, I'll just name a couple of them. This family that I thought was especially interested because we all know about the Gardner Hotel. And in 1920, the Gardner Hotel was owned by a young woman, and her name was Sarah Mills, was the owner and proprietor of the hotel. And she had a four-year-old daughter and an older sister, Kellen, that lived with her. And so what happened was their parents owned the St. John's Hotel, and then they bought the Gardner. And right after they bought it, their mother was doing some dry cleaning. And back then they would do dry cleaning by having kerosene on top of the stove, hot kerosene, and they would put the clothing in there, and this started on fire. And she ran out, dumped it in the alley, but she died from it. And right afterwards, her husband died. So this young woman became the owner of the Gardner Hotel when she was 35 years old. So that was a woman-owned business, and her sisters were working in there with her. And then across the street from that was the Pitts Bakery, and Mary Pitts worked at the bakery. She co-owned it with her husband, Joseph. and his brother, Antoine. And later she died, her husband died, and her brother-in-law had sold out his part. So she became the owner of it and remarried, but she was the owner. So that was another woman-owned business. And that, by the way, is a precursor of Emily's Bakery.
Oh, how is it a precursor?
Okay, so the Walkers purchased the Pitts Bakery. That's what it is. They're not related to the Pittses, but they purchased the Pitts Bakery. The Walkers are the grandparents
Walker.
Of
yeah.
Noreen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the third generation down from the Pitts Bakery, Emily's is now. I think that's just a long-term business that a woman is still co-owner of. It's been in Hastings all those years. And then there was a woman named Kate Steffen, and she owned and operated a millinery shop in 1920. And she grew up in Hastings. In fact, her father was called Bat Steffen, and he owned a brewery, or Kunzel Brewery, that was torn down a few years ago. Do you remember that brewery downtown?
Was it behind Hastings Family Service?
Yes, yeah. So Kate was a really interesting woman. She had restaurants, she had a beauty salon. She was not a beautician herself, but in her building, she had rented to all these places. And she owned a hotel, or co-owned a hotel with her dad, worked in it with her father and mother. She had a long career, and then she ended up having antiques at the end of her life, had an antique shop.
Was this all in downtown Hastings?
Everything was downtown Hastings. She moved around. At the end, she became an antique dealer, and the building that she was in was torn down when they built the middle bridge, what they call Old Blue now. Then she moved in at 207 West 2nd Street. She moved into that house that was owned by the Sebans, remember? That was the Seban house, and she bought it from them. And that's where she had her antiques at the end of her life. I like this one. Frances Boynton had her insurance agent downtown, and her name was right on the building. And that is on the corner where the Hastings Family Service is now. It was Eddie's Pharmacy, And it was one of the Smead buildings until they tore all those buildings down in that block. And Eddie's built that big, beautiful building that's there now, although I like the old ones better, but the old buildings are so charming.
Do you think that it really was the Roaring Twenties? I mean, what was Hastings like, do you think? Was it full of energy, and was the economy going well?
It was. It was really full of energy, especially with the women. It's amazing to read the Hastings paper and find how organized they were. The Hastings Republican women had an organization. They started a League of Women Voters. As soon as they got the vote, the Minnesota Women's Suffrage Association became the League of Women Voters, and their whole focus was to learn about all the issues so that they could vote responsibly and educated and aware of what the issues were. You know, one of the things that I really didn't see, you know, we think about flappers in 1920.
Yes.
And the fashions, you know, the fashions in the paper show those styles. But I didn't really read a lot about, maybe I wasn't focusing on that, about dances specifically, you know.
Right. Because a flapper's, That was not an occupation, was it?
No, that wasn't an occupation. So I was focusing on occupation. Exactly, right.
Isn't it fascinating to think about all those businesses downtown, those beautiful buildings, as you said, and what stories they could tell if they could talk?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A while ago, I talked to you about minority businesses, and I mentioned the Chinese laundry that was down there.
Yes.
So in the 1920s, that was another woman-owned business. Yuk Hum was a man who came from China, and he married a woman by the name of Anna Bork, but she was in Anna Hum. And so she owned her business in the 1920s downtown. Of course, I don't think she was doing much dancing. She was too busy raising her children and having her business, keeping her business going.
No kidding.
Yeah. A lot of women worked downtown as secretaries, and the Hastings Telephone Company was downtown above the post office. which was on the corner of Sibley and 2nd Street. And in the post office, the assistant postmistress was a woman, and she became the postmistress like in 1924, and her name was Kate Schubert. There's a great photograph of her that is in a lot of the history, the Hastings history books. And the woman who had the business college across the street from the post office was Anna Louise Harton. She grew up in Hastings and worked as a stenographer and then came back to town and started her own business college. I think it's really cool.
I do too.
That they had a business college downtown, and she trained a lot of women. She said one of her most famous students was Geraldine Siebold, and Geraldine married Ernie Pyle, who was a war correspondent in the Second World War. He was really well liked. His style of writing was very fascinating, and people followed his writing. And she had gone to Washington, D.C. with the daughter of the people that owned the Meyer Company, and they went to Washington, D.C. and worked there, and that's where she met Ernie. And he was killed in the Second World War. And the movie G.I. Joe is based on his life.
Wow, that is a great story.
Yeah. Like I said, the women did a lot of club work and really worked to beautify the levee because it was such a mess.
Heidi, would you say that at that time the place where more women were employed was maybe the school district or the hospitals?
There were. I'm so glad you brought that up because you know what? Women owned and ran the hospitals.
What?
In town in the 20s. They were in houses, and there's a house on the corner of 3rd and River Street. It's across from Tilden Community Center now. And there are some photos of the inside of that building where Mrs. Wilson owned that building, and the doctor was Dr. Adsett from downtown. He had it. So the nurses actually owned and ran a lot of the hospitals in that time. Mrs. Kruger, well, I think that was in the 30s, but it was still where the women were doing that. And the schools, teachers, definitely.
And how about the big companies, like you mentioned, Hudson, and before it was the sawmill. Did women work mm-hmm. there, or was that really male-driven?
Yeah. No, women worked there. I saw a couple different instances where women worked there in the 1920s. My husband's father worked his whole career at Hudson Manufacturing. And the other day I was looking at that census record and I found his sister was working in the factory at the same time. So the women were actually working in the factory itself on the floor and also in the offices. That wasn't like their own business, but they were employed downtown because Sneed was downtown at the time too.
Right, and of
Sneed
course,
manufacturing.
Another very popular woman-owned business, two generations of women.
That's right, for sure.
Heidi, I know there are some other businesses that you wanted to chat about that were primarily women-owned, and that is dressmakers and washerwomen.
Yes, it was really interesting because it was a career that women could do. And we talked a while ago about the black history, and there were black women that were washerwomen, and there were also white women. They took washing into their homes, and they did it. And once in a while, they were washerwomen and dressmakers. But, for instance, Mrs. Burchin, that I mentioned at one point, had a dressmaking business in her home and a millinery shop. They were like cottage industries, as well as doing the insurance and bookkeeping businesses. And the LaDuke women had their needlework business out of their home, and they started that in the late 1800s, and they were still doing that in the 1920s. So that wasn't downtown, but they had a cottage industry where women would, from Hastings, would get pieces of like a tablecloth, and the pattern would be on there, and then they would have a diagram of which color embroidery floss they would have to use to do the different parts of the pattern. So those are a lot of businesses that we don't see anymore, but that were here and kept women busy and employed and earning money. Oh, another woman that was interesting was Mrs. Burchin. So she grew up in Hastings. Her father owned a brewery, and then she ended up getting married and moving out of town when her husband died, she came back to town. It was Thicker was her maiden name. So she owned a hotel, the Phoenix Hotel downtown, and she was running that in 1920.
And where was that, please?
It was where the Depot restaurant is. It was located on that corner, on the corner of 2nd and Bailey. I just found that picture at the Pioneer Room of that hotel the other day. Well, actually, Dave Youngren comes down and takes photographs of a lot of the photos for his chamber, Visit Hastings website.
Yes.
And we have fun looking at all those old buildings. It's just amazing. And we always ask people if they come across old photos when they're going through things, cleaning out or downsizing. Even if you don't want to donate them to the Pioneer Room, we can scan them and have them available for projects. We do have a lot of businesses downtown right now that are owned or managed by women, and it seems like there's a great interest in showing historic photos on the walls. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I think that's great to show us our history.
I do too. We like that.
We want to say thank you. Historian okay. Heidi Langenfeld always has so much great information to share with us. Thank you. We learned a lot about women-owned businesses in Hastings over the years, and we continue to wish all businesses in Hastings great success, and we want to remind people to shop local. Heidi, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.